Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Welcome to the Salty Seekers, where you can hang out with friends and talk about all areas of spirituality and the metaphysical, while knowing you don't have to be pure love and light to do it.
Hi, and welcome back to the Salty Seekers. This week, we are covering viewer requests. So these are just some of the questions you guys have either left in comments, sent as an email. Is your light flashing?
I'm just trying to bother you.
Oh, not smart to do when someone has ADHD. I'm just like mid-sentence. I'm like, wait, what? Squirrel. I'm going to need you to pick one and settle. Oh, that's blue. It matches my outfit so we can be matchies.
Oh, that's amazing.
You don't want to be matchies with me.
You're getting off topic.
Whose fault is that?
Yours. Got to have focus.
We don't have a whole lot of that in stock at the moment.
It's so a muscle and I'm helping you work it out.
Good luck. May the odds be ever in your favor. Now I'm going to have Effie stuck in my head. That is mahogany. Okay. Hi. Welcome to the Salty Seekers.
Oh, don't cut all this. Let them see it.
Okay. So yeah, we're taking all the questions, not all of them. We're taking a bunch of the questions you guys have sent us, and we're going to do our best to make sense of them and to get you some answers. So we picked out a handful that we thought would go well together, and we're going to see how it goes. You ready, Jay?
We're ready. All right. So we'll move on to the questions. I got the first one pulled up from Alma. It says, hello, Salty Seekers. I have a few questions, but today my question is, in hearing and try to learn about UFOs and ETs, I'm confused. Me too. Are these beings only around when we're in our earthly bodies? Can we see them when we're back in spirit forms? Do they also die and reincarnate? I guess this goes with any of the other beings.
That's a whole lot of question. That question was working hard. That's a whole lot of question. Okay, Alma. So let's break it down, shall we? And not like...
Sorry.
Okay, so first, are these beings only around when we're in our earthly bodies? I'm not sure what you mean by that. I mean, they exist whether you're in an earthly body or not. What do you think? Do you get anything from that? Like, I'm not sure what that part means.
My extent of knowledge on UFOs is the sci-fi I watch. But I assume if there are other civilizations out there, they're around, whether or not they're visiting us, they exist same time, different areas.
Right, right. So every star system has its version of beings, like Earth does, human beings, and they exist whether you are incarnated into a human body or not. So I apologize if I don't know what that first part of your question means. Maybe I'm just not grasping it, but they are there all the time. Now, they tend to vibrate at a much higher frequency than we do, because Earth is really the lowest. I mean, before you hit like the astral and the 2D and like it's bad news, like it's dark. Now, you kind of have to step down your energy, step down your frequencies to make it to Earth, because Earth is a very polarized, dense 3D planet. The other planets, and this isn't a comparison of good or bad, better than the other type of thing. That's very earthly thinking. It's just different. They have a different situation. They have different energies. They have different paradigms to work out. So yes, on those planets, they tend to be higher vibrating. And as we've discussed in other episodes, the higher you vibrate, the faster things go and we can't see them. Think about when you have like rims on a car. When it's sitting still, you can see them. But like when the car gets going real fast, you can't see it. Same with fan blades. You turn on a fan, the fan blades look like they disappear because they're moving so fast. They're still there. They're just vibrating and moving quicker than you are and that your eyes can see. So same thing with them. They're always there. The other thing is that many other ET species and whatnot, they have the ability to phase in and out. They can manipulate their energy and their density so that they can kind of materialize in front of you, disappear again. They can adjust their frequency and their density to show themselves to you, but then go back to their normal state, if that makes sense. The other thing is, yes, they do die and reincarnate. Now, every single being, every star system, race, they have their own dynamics of karma. Everybody has karma. That's a universal law, and the universal laws apply to everybody, but it looks different than it does on Earth. It might not operate the same. Also, yes, they die. That was your question, but it might look different. Like an average human life is like 72 years or something, 75 years. Their average life might be 700 years. They may die, but their form of death might be to just decide, I think I'm done. And they like phase out and go back to heaven. There's no like dramatic death scene. There's no blood and guts. There's no sickness. Every one of them look different, but they're different than Earth, if that makes sense. Did that just make it clear as mud? Or did I help explain that? Did you understand?
I'm following along.
Okay. For example, with their karma, sometimes their karma is to work as a spirit guide to us. So that's how they work off some of their karma. That's their job they go to every day. They sign in to be your guide from like 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. They probably don't have times like humans do, but you know what I'm saying. They sit down in their little chair, put on their headset. They help us with whatever we need. They balance some things out. They give us some inspiration, synchronize a couple events, and then they go home and have some meatloaf. Like that's
what you're saying is they really screwed up this time. It's like, oh, how'd you land Jay? He's like, you don't even want to know. I gotta let me go help him.
They're like, this guy. Every day I come in and have to fix the same things, and she's, man, can she not stop? Shari boo is what it is. Alma, if that didn't fully answer your question, feel free to clarify in the comments. I'd love to follow up and help you out.
All right, on to our next one. From Natalie, how are the roles of our spirit guides, angels, archangels different? When might we call on our spirit guide versus archangel? Should we be familiar with the different energies of the archangels and calling on them by name for the type of help / protection we are seeking?
Okay, so your spirit guides are your normal everyday best friends and helper bees. They're your friends, your family, like here on Earth that like have your back. They're helping to synchronize things. They're helping you hold down the fort and to live your best life. Reach your goals. The archangels are extremely helpful, but they're more on a grander scale. They're more for like urgent help. They're for protection. I mean, you can ask them for other things too, but this is how I'm thinking the difference is. It's like the difference between your ordinary physicians, like your primary care doctors or your general practitioners, versus the life flight that gets called in when you're in an accident and they pick you up and helicopter you to the hospital. They're the big guns that you call in the big situations. Like if you're in danger, call on Archangel Michael. He's a warrior. He'll come and kick some booty and help you out. He'll help protect you. Now they can help with everyday things. Like they have little roles and specialties that they work with. Like Raphael is for healing and Gabriel is for communication and writing and speaking and all those things. Metatron, he's in charge of the Akashic Records. So he is privy to the information of every single timeline that you've ever created and what the possible outcomes of those timelines would be. So if you're not sure which direction to head in life, you can talk to Archangel Metatron and ask him for guidance on helping you to pick the path that would be best suited for you or that would help you get to a certain outcome. He can help give you that direction. So Your spirit guides are more of the ones that would help you carry out those plans, facilitate and synchronize those plans for you, and help get you there. But you can certainly call on them for anything you want. That's the magic. You can call on them for anything you want. If it's better suited to be handled by your spirit team, by your guides and whatnot, they'll just automatically, without you even knowing, they'll filter that down and delegate it to your team. Like, your team's like, we got it, and they just take it over. You don't necessarily need to know who's fulfilling the request as long as it gets fulfilled, right? Vice versa, too. If you ask your guides for something and they're like, whoa, we need some big help, they call in the angels and the angels jump in, and you might not even ever know it. They all work together. It's not siloed. It's all a big orchestrated team. They all have your back, and you don't really need to stress about if you're doing it right, calling on the right person. Like, it all gets to where it needs to go to give you the best help. All you have to do is say help, right?
The doctor metaphor. So you have your general practitioners, and then, you know, you call other ones in for more specialty, neurologists, cardiologists, so on, because they have their own niche.
Right. Exactly. They have their own niche, their own specialty. None's better than the other. It's not a hierarchy. It's just different things they take interest. There's archangels that help with nature and animals and plants. So like, if your house plants are struggling, ask them for help with it. Or, you know.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Now, each archangel is also assigned to a direction, and I can't remember which one, but like, one's in charge of the east, the west, the north, south. So it just depends on what your need is, if you want to call in some bigger guns and have them help out.
I put on my bike helmet and get my crayons, and let's do this. All right, so we have another question from Natalie. It says, if thoughts become things for people with intrusive thoughts and anxiety, how can we counteract those when they pop up? I feel like I can't control where my mind goes, and when I realize I'm having a negative thought, I worry about that thought plunging me even deeper into a low vibration and creating a future I don't want.
You were just talking about this a few weeks ago when you were having a tough time and you were worried about creating this massive wobble, and you're like, I'm going to be creating a whole lot of chaos. How do I stop this and get balanced again so that I don't bring a whole lot of nonsense into my life?
Mm-hmm. So don't be stealing my negative thunder. How dare you? It's my storm cloud. I'm just playing.
I think everybody faces this, though. I think it's a common problem. You can't stress about it too much. It just is what it is. We all have good days, good thoughts, bad thoughts.
Here's where I'll interject. Write some of this down. What I mean, you're having these intrusive thoughts. You're thinking you're going to create some bad stuff. So start writing some of it down, not to create more, but to prove something to yourself. Of all the negative things I've thought of, the terrible scenarios, almost none of them ever come to pass. The battle's up here, and it rarely funnels out like that. Do we go through challenges? Absolutely. I wouldn't spend a ton of time worried that you're creating the most chaos for yourself. Instead, put yourself back in that, I know it's hard because I go through it too. Put yourself back in that mindset of, I'm going to put out some positivity. I'm going to try again today. What I've been doing since that, what she's talking about, that week I really had some challenges, is I call them baby steps. Each day, each week, I said, let me take one more step forward because I got to get myself going. So this week, I'm going to sign back up for the gym. This week, I'm going to start watching what I eat. This week, get me 2 new outfits. And you know how good you feel, that fresh fit. Got that new outfit, Phil. So it's just little things. So instead of focusing on all the negativity from that week, I ask my guys, help me. What's the next, not big step, what's the next little step to get me to my best timeline?
Yes. Well said, Jay.
I have
absolutely. Yeah, you got a lot of moments. That was good. I second all of that. Exactly. So when they pop up, you, first of all, don't focus on them too much. Don't stress about the fact that they're there, because what you focus on, you get more of, is what it is. You know what I mean? You just kind of go about your day and not think about it too much. Don't stress about it too much, put too much of your focus on it, because then you're just going to manifest more. You're going to stress yourself out even more. The only way to control where your mind goes is to replace that with something else. You know, try to find something else. Try to watch a movie that makes you laugh. Try to talk to friends and let them tell you about their day or something so that you're getting your mind off of yourself. The key is get out of your own head and your own energy and go be of service to someone else, because you can't be selfish when you're serving. Not as much anyways, not as bad. And, you know, anxiety is a whole lot of worry about yourself.
And don't forget to serve yourself.
Right. But if you're stuck in that anxiety cycle, is what I'm saying, you're worried about yourself, your life, you're this, you're that. The key to counteracting that, at least temporarily, is to get out of yourself, get into someone else. Like, go be of service somewhere. Go do something for someone. Go let someone tell you about their rough day. Go be of service somewhere else. And it gets you out of your festering anxiety bubble, at least temporarily. And usually that can help it to subside a little bit. But I really like what you said about writing it down, because really you have to get into the practice of being able to dismiss things as lies. And then you have to write them down and pay attention to what comes true and what doesn't. And then experience will show you that when that thought comes up, you're like, eh, I've seen this one before. It's going to be fine. You know, you'll start realizing that you can dismiss them. It becomes easier. You know, you develop a muscle memory about that thing and you can just dismiss it because it hasn't come true before.
There's a Muppets thought that jumped to my head. In one of the episodes is Muppet Babies. You know, if you have kids, you know. But Kermit was afraid of the dark, and the monster in the dark he's afraid of goes, has anything you ever worried about in the dark ever happened? He's like, well, no, but I'm afraid of it. So has it, all them things we've been worried about, right, have they happened?
Exactly.
I'm not saying stuff can't happen, but if you look at the total, the whole sum, it's mostly in your head.
It is. All right. I hope that helped. Good luck.
Don't be stealing my anxiety. I don't want to share.
If any of you guys out there have any tips or tricks for the anxiety and the intrusive thoughts, let us know. Share in the comments. Let's help each other.
All right. So then it's Mia, right?
Mia's one of our members. Okay, Mia, what do you got for us? Is there any absolute truth? Everything is true simultaneously is the most inclusive answer, it seems. And is there a point? Well, if you watched our Laws of the Universe, you might know the answer to this first part of the question. And it was, say it with me, Jay, the law of relativity. You didn't say it with me.
The law of motion.
Relativity. Go to the back of the class. Go to the back of the class.
I was already there.
So the law of relativity, I cannot say that word. Wow, I was just relativity. Joking.
But I did have a question. I mean, before Newton figured out gravity, how'd you guys hold stuff down?
I don't know. Your mom will have to tell us. So I was just saying that me trying to say relativity quickly is like all those little babies trying to say popsicle. They'll say pop, and they're like pop, and they're sickle. Sickle. They're like, no, say popsicle. And they're like, blah, 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 blah. Oh my gosh. So.
All right. So back to the law of relish.
Is there any absolute truth? No. It's all relative. Truth is dependent on your perspective, and anything can be true to you. Perspective is reality. If you think it's true, it is. Like, I don't believe that if I don't accept Jesus into my heart, I will burn in hell forever. Christians do believe that. It's very real to them that Jesus is Lord and that is the only way. Do you know what I'm saying? That's real to them. To me, my dreams are 100% real to me. If I see it in my dreams, it is as good as gold. I believe it. Other people would be so dismissive of that and say it is just dreams. It's just something your brain is coming up with when it's sleeping. Not to me. I firmly believe. So there is no one universal truth. I believe that you have the power to create universes and create your own reality with your thoughts and your words and your energy. I believe that we are all one and all connected, and that there is nothing needed to earn a place in heaven. Other people would dismiss that as complete garbage and say that I'm totally wrong. And the thing is that none of us are wrong. I'm right and they're right. It's whatever you believe. So that's not a very easy answer to take or to wrap your human brain around. But no, there is no definite one reality, one truth. And the point, what's the point? Well, I believe, I can only share what I believe and what I've been taught. And I believe that the point is to have experiences. I think that the divine wants to experience every single thing that is and every possible opportunity and scenario. And so he creates each individual with different personalities, different temperaments, different life experiences. And that way he is experiencing all that is through us, the good, bad, the ugly, because God is all things and he wants to experience all things. So he might say, well, I've experienced an abusive father or a mother that remarries and that didn't go so well.
Living in Ohio.
Blah, blah, blah. But I've never done it as a brunette who has good communication skills and starts a YouTube. Let's make one of those. So he just creates each one of us to fulfill a different experience and to see how it feels, to see how it plays out. That's the point. And then to keep going and going is to like work off the karma, to have those experiences. You know, there's different rules to the game and he creates these characters and the characters have to abide by the rules. And if you violate the rules, you might have to go back and do it again. Different things like that. But yeah, I mean, that's the point. It's a big learning game.
All things are true. Sharks and alligators are friendly. You can pet them.
I'm sure that there is a planet where that is a reality.
It's this one.
You try it first.
I already know it to be true. I don't need any proof.
Okay.
See how that works.
Is that how you lost your hand?
Hey, I thought we were going to talk about me being nubby.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make fun of your nub.
I know. It's terrible. If I had short sleeves, I'd pull my arm in. Look at this little nub.
All right. What do we have next?
All right. This one's from 909 Ducky. Is that Mia again?
That is Mia.
Okay. I thought I had that right. The ducks had me thrown off. All right.
Mia always has the most...
I know. I have to get a dictionary for some of these
eloquent
words.
Yeah, poignant, eloquent questions. I love smart people and I love people that makes my brain think, but you almost shame me with your...
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Brains, like People your brains are, saying, are.
She has the best words. She has the best words.
That is not allowed on here. If I had a gong, like talk about the olden days, like the gong show, I would gong you right now.
Stabby still.
Only when it comes to that. I'm not
stabby. I'm just saying she has the best words. People have been saying that.
She does. Well,
see?
All I keep saying is that she is almost intimidating with her brainy good words. I love her to death. She's awesome. Okay, what do we got?
Can we talk about tricksters? Like, are they always fairly devoid of substance, or have you had or heard of an instance where they serve a purpose in your curriculum, if you will, and where placed by design, like this semester, wow, you are enrolled in Trickster 101 or entities.
Do you need me to read it? Oh, do you want to start again?
Tearing me up on this. Damn it.
How about I read this one?
All right, go ahead. Chopped up.
I got to quit laughing first. Okay, so Mia says, can we talk about tricksters? Like, are they always fairly devoid of substance? Or have you had or heard instances where they serve a purpose in your curriculum, if you will, and were placed by design? Like this semester, you're enrolled in Trickster 101 or entities that have purposely misrepresent themselves to teach you something. That's a multifaceted answer. What do you think, Jay?
I think yes and no. Well, not yes and no. Yes. You will see some that are just there to mess with you. But we were talking about this the other day. Depending on your life plan, they could be on your team because, yeah, you're getting into trouble this life. Mm-hmm. They're coming along for the ride. It's like you need some help being whatever bad personality you're going to be this lifetime. So, yeah, Some will mess with you. Some are here to help you be bad.
Yeah, I would have to agree. Except let me break that down a little bit more. So I guess it has to do with the connotation that you would put on the word trickster. At the end of the day, honestly speaking, at the end of the day, all a trickster is a low vibrating astral being, like a demon. But to me, personally, with the experiences that I've had, to me, demons and tricksters are kind of in two different categories for me. Tricksters, they sound more ornery. They're more troublemakers. They're just there to fuck shit up.
Yeah,
like you know what I mean?
They'll send prank mail and put beeping devices in their kid's room.
Yeah, inside jokes. So, like, tricksters are there to mess around. They're there to cause trouble. Like, wasn't it in Jumanji? Weren't there monkeys that just got out and, like, just tore stuff up? They were just running amok. To me, that's kind of like tricksters. And Spomi, you guys help protect my space because I'm feeling stuff show up and I don't want anything show up. They're not welcome here.
See, this is why we don't talk about this stuff very often.
Yeah. But like Jay said, we were talking the other day about lifetimes that you purposely choose. You contract to have a lifetime where you incarnate as someone rather dark that does a lot of malevolent things. You might be unaliving people, you might be hurting people, you might be doing some ugly stuff. And in order to help keep you in that mindset or to help facilitate these things you want to do, you can have very dark forces and entities that would technically be tricksters, but really just demons on your spiritual team acting as your guides to help you get and stay in that dark mentality, help facilitate these things. You will have those on your team. You're going to be in a dark place and it's by design. So have I heard of instances where they would serve a purpose in the curriculum? Yes, like that. But to me, those aren't really fitting the bill as tricksters. Tricksters to me are more hooligans that are just causing destruction. But even they can have a purpose. There's a purpose to everything. Even if the only purpose is to teach you the valuable lesson of discernment.
There it is.
Did you send it to me?
It was in my mind. I was waiting for you to say it.
I caught it. You threw it. I caught it. So discernment to teach you how to protect yourself better, like before you use the pendulum or whatever you're going to do, any kind of divination work, that kind of thing. So they can serve a purpose, but it just depends on what you're involved with at the time. But I would not recommend working with them on a regular basis if you don't need to. Just saying.
One of those discernment questions. We talk about tricksters, and then there's the branch. This could be the same thing, but I refer to them as mimics because, you know, I'll hear that, and it'll be someone's voice I know, but they're not here. And so there's mimicking of sounds, mimicking of...
Like a mockingjay.
Yeah, like I had this happened a while back. I had to change all my alerts because that was being mimicked to the house. Or like I'll hear people's voices I know that aren't here. So would a mimic be the same thing as a trickster?
I think there can be tricksters that are mimics, not... All tricksters are mimics, but all mimics are tricksters. That's my opinion. Yeah, they're just there to cause chaos and confusion. Like if you actually start talking to them on your pendulum, they might give you some truth.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're going to throw you something that's really far left to cause confusion and cause upset and to cause distress or to think that your guides are making fun of you or being mean to you. And they're going to get you all emotional and sad and hurt feelings and... And they're sitting there going like.
I identify as a trickster.
Yeah. I can see that sometimes.
Hey. It's rude.
Your mom's rude. So, yeah, I would say that those mimics are very likely tricksters because they're just there to run amok. They're the ones that would pose as a valet outside of a club and they'd wait till you like drop your Ferrari off and they'd get in and joyride and be like, woohoo. You know, like they don't give a shit and they're just there to cause some disruption. Whereas I think demons, they're there to help with darkness, help with malevolence, if you know what I mean. Anything to add?
No, sounds good to me. So the next question comes from Tina. My guardian angel comes through the most, but sometimes I get different answers for my same question or another spirit tells me something different. Why?
What do you think? I'm sending it to you.
Little Caesar's Pizza. First, I get two things immediately. One, could tie back into what we were just talking about, tricksters.
You got it.
But then two, and this is something I talk about a lot, sometimes you weren't ready. You weren't at the right level for that answer. You got the answer at the level you were where you've graduated up, and a newer answer is there.
And I can think of a third possibility. Those were the first two. I had three of them. The third one is different timelines.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, when you first say that, my very first knee-jerk reaction is you're probably talking to a trickster. At least one of those that are giving different answers. At least somebody in that mix is a trickster, which you just have to go back to checking on your vibes. Where are you at with your energy and what are you attracting? Are you good enough to be using divination at this time if you're getting funky answers coming through? The other thing is timelines. Psychics, mediums, your guides, you know, whoever you're talking to, they can only give you accurate information for what timeline is available to them at that moment, like the timeline you're on. We are constantly, minute to minute, second to second, we are always changing timelines. I have two drinks sitting here, and every time I reach down and choose one instead of the other, I'm choosing an alternate timeline than could have existed. It's really that simple. We're changing all the time. And on each timeline, different outcomes can happen. So if they see you going down this path for something in your future, and then you jump timelines because you develop fear, you're like, man, I really would like to, that would be really nice to have. I'd like to do this thing, get that job, travel to this place, be with that person. Fear stops you and you're like, jump timeline. And so if they're giving you answers on this timeline, and then you jump, those answers are no longer accurate. And then you're like, they lied to me. They didn't know what they were talking about. Those things didn't come true. That may be because I always do that. I go to like scratch my ear and I'm like, can't get to it. That timeline's no longer there. And then what Jay had said, you want to say it again?
Little Caesar's pizza.
Not that part.
You may not have been ready for it. You've now leveled up and are at a place where you can understand something greater.
Yeah, it's like when your little kids, like your three-year-old comes and says, Mom, where do babies come from?
I say Dairy Queen.
Right. Well, when they're 15, they might be ready for a different answer than the stork or the Cabbage Patch or Dairy Queen or Mommy and Daddy just make them. You know what I mean? They might be ready for a bigger answer with more detail, a more sophisticated answer. And a lot of times that's what you're dealing with too. Like they could tell you something, but then in 6 months you check back, you get a different answer. It could be any of these variables. What do you think?
I don't think that covers that one. All right. Our last question is, and I'm not sure how to say this. It could be quesada or
quesadilla.
Quesadilla or for like the people around here, quesadilla.
Right. We weren't sure if you're trying to be like elegant and pretty with quesadilla. Or if you're being cheeky and quesadilla, but we like funny, so we're going to go with the cheeky option.
I like quesadillas. I'm not being funny.
We're just being big.
Delicious.
Big back.
Anyway, so could you talk about dream journaling? I've been doing it for about a year now, and I've wondered what happens after the journaling. Do you have any examples of insights into healing, past or parallel lives, premonitions? And is there a benefit to going back and reviewing your dreams?
Well, I'd say yes to all of it. What happens after the journaling? Do you have examples? Well, I think first and foremost that it's important. The benefit of dream journaling is it trains your brain to be aware that you want to pay attention to details. You want to remember your dreams and you want to grab on to details. Your subconscious becomes aware that that's what you're looking for and it helps you remember your dreams. Second of all, it can benefit you because then by gathering those details, you can realize that, oh my gosh, I actually, that was a dream from like a long time ago. I was in clothes from the 1800s. There were horses and carriages. I was in a castle, whatever the case may be. It helps you remember a lot of those details. Those usually end up being like past life dreams. So you start remembering some of your past lives. Another thing is that this is a major way that your guides communicate with you. They speak to the subconscious through symbolism. Your brain takes words, images. Your subconscious interprets symbols. So every single thing in your dreams means something. Colors, numbers, items, all of it, it means something. Look it up. I do have an example. and I will link to a video that I shared from several years ago when I had a past life regression done, and it was potent. Like, it was extremely powerful. I've had a couple other ones done since then, and they're just kind of like, meh, they weren't that big of a deal, but this one, wow. And when I went to write it down, I have a little notebook where I keep like automatic writing and stuff and some dreams and things like that. I went to write something down and that journal just bloop, flipped open on its own when I went to open it to a page that I had written a dream down from like 2 years prior, I think. And it was a dream about the people in this past life regression. And the dream that I had suddenly now made so much sense. And it helped me to process and heal this whole thing. So you might not always have huge, profound examples. Usually your dreams are much more immediate about what's happening right now in your life. But sometimes they can help heal some other stuff, like from lifetimes ago. And I didn't have any idea what that dream meant at the time, but 2 years later when I had that regression, suddenly it all made sense now. And I think it did help bring a lot. But in the moment, like right now, if I had a dream right now, it's typically about what's happening in my life right now. And if you analyze that dream right now, yes, it can help bring healing, it can help bring insight, it can help bring reassurance or validation or all kinds of things. So going back years later, reading the dream journals, those can be interesting, but they don't always bring healing. Now, we had something really cool happen in this last week. I did. I say you because you were in it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Was it the SPOMI one?
So, I don't even remember what I was doing.
We were in a classroom and there was a weirdo in a cape.
Yeah.
I'm Batman.
I was sitting there and I was talking to SPOMI about dreams. And I was asking him about, like, the people I see in my dreams, the pets that I see in my dreams. Like, were these my actual pets in other lifetimes and stuff? And he's like, yes. I'm like, a lot of the people in my dreams, are they people that I knew? And I felt like, yes, knew or know or will know. And I'm like, so some of them could be, like, from future. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, give me an example of someone that I know, but I dreamed about them before I knew them. And up popped this very prominent dream from a decade ago. It was from 2015, and I remember it so clearly, and it was a very important dream at the time. It was one of the very first really spiritual dreams, or where I dreamed about aliens, things like that. And so this dream has always stuck out in my head big time. And in the dream, there was a guy, he was sitting behind me, and partway through the dream, he jumped up into the seat next to me, and then he helped me escape. He was like my partner and he was helping me get out of there. And to me, because that was one of the very first dreams where I put two and two together and realized that like SPOMI was in my dreams with me, SPOMI was playing this guy. To me, in my mind, I always kind of equated SPOMI to looking like this person, even though he doesn't. It was just who he's playing that dream. But anyways, what, you shush your face.
You're about to prove my point. Go.
Yes, I am probably about to prove your point. So he showed me this dream again, very clearly, and the person in the dream. And it occurred to me very clearly that the person in the dream was actually a very young Jay. And so I was kind of shook by this. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I immediately texted you and I said, can you please send me a picture of yourself from like late teens, early 20s? And you sent me a picture. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes, that was you. I actually dreamed about you 10 years ago in this very important dream, except in the dream you were clean shaven and I think you were wearing a military uniform. And then partway through the dream, he's saying it'll prove his point, partway through the dream, he stopped being Jay and he turned into a woman. And the rest of the dream, SPOMI was a woman, a brunette woman. So anyways, yeah, that was very cool. I actually went back and found my dream journal. That happened to be the very first dream that I ever journaled. That's pretty cool. It was the very first one that, it was so cool that I'm like, I need to write this down. Yeah, very first one, 2015.
Need to have a talk with SPOMI. I wear this avatar all the time. 10 out of 10, don't recommend. Not sure why she did that.
This is long before I knew you, sir. And in my dream journal, I said this very handsome brunette man sitting behind me. Yeah.
Oh, I get it. Yeah.
But you're always dogging on yourself. And I'm like,
oh, that was a very young me. He was a very handsome man.
You're still a very handsome man.
He weighed so much less. I've gained at least one of him.
Tiny guys are not where it's at. Give me a good dad bod. Ladies, are you out there with me? Do you prefer a skinny, skinny, skinny guy? Do you prefer a big buff guy with like hard muscles and veins sticking out everywhere? Or do you prefer a nice dad bod? Because that, to me, that is not an insult. That's where it's at. Give me a dad bod all day.
Oh, you can see he eats. It's good. He has food.
It's not just that, though. It's that, okay, so a guy who has just rippled muscles everywhere, he's spending way too much time and attention on things other than you and your home, in my opinion. His mind is on the gym, on his gains, bro, you know, and he's doing that to get attention from other people. These are all my opinion and my experiences, okay? If you're different than that, good. You should be. Don't come for me. But in my experience, yeah, I just think that dad bods are more comfortable. They don't hurt to lay on them or to snuggle with them. They're down to hang out and eat tacos with you.
We're getting away from the real point. She's been calling Spill Me a Man forever because of this.
Yeah, because of that. Yeah, true story. So anyways, I hope that that cleared anything up for you, quesadilla. If it's supposed to be quesadilla or quesadilla, like, we apologize, but quesadilla is so much fun, more fun. Quesadilla 1207.
I need one now.
Does it sound good? Ooh, Amelia just said, I'm coming to your house now. Do you want some Dunkin'? Yes, girl. Hang on. I said, yes, mama. You know I do. LOL. Anything to add before we go?
That's it. We got to all your questions. Feel free to send us some more.
They were awesome. Please, you know, email them. Text them. I think we might have one or two more in our email that we'll send for next time. They left a voice message. I think we got a voicemail and maybe a text that we haven't brought over here yet, but we'll get those next time.
867-5309. Ask for Jenny.
Don't confuse people, because we'll have people actually go, we can't get a hold of you. All of our contact information is in the description box or in the show notes. And you can also find us on social media. On Instagram, we are the Salty Seekers Podcast. You can email us, call us, direct message us. You can also leave comments on the video, etc. If you are listening to this on a typical podcast platform like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc., hit the follow button, hit the review button, give us some stars, leave us a review. We would really appreciate your feedback. And if you aren't subscribed yet, please hit the like and subscribe button on YouTube. We would appreciate that as well. We love you all, and keep smiling, keep your heart open, and we'll talk to you soon.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.